Perkuf Mishnah Hey, the 20th chapter, the 5th Mishnah. Akasha Gabe Hamita, straw which is sitting on a bed, and generally straw is used for heating, and therefore it is deemed muksa. And therefore, if it is on a person's bed, lo yinana biyado, a person is not allowed to move it with one's hand. Allah minana bigufo, however, if a person wants to lie down and flatten it down so that you're able to lie down on it, what you do is you don't use your hands to soften it or to pat it down, use your body kind of to flatten it on its own. That's a shinoi, that's indirect, not using one's hands, and therefore you're permitted to move muksa item in that manner. However, if this straw is going to be used for food, is designated for something which is permissible on Shabbos, or shayalav kar or sadin, or if there was a pillow on it, or there were sheets on it, and the straw was there really for the mattress purpose, not deemed for heating, not deemed for something which is muksa, but something which is permitted to be used and therefore moved on Shabbos. None of the yada, a person is allowed to move the straw on one's bed, even using one's hand. Machbesh shel balabatim matirin, a householder's press, which is basically a kli, it's a utensil that has two different plates, and a person puts an article of clothing in between them to press them, you know, to iron them on during the week. And what happens if a person by mistake forgets their clothing in there on Shabbos, they want to wear it on Shabbos? Says our Mishnah, it is permitted. Matirin, a person would be allowed to loosen this press in order to remove one's garment. However, lo kovshin, it would be usher to tighten this press on Shabbos. The reason is because it's tircha yaseira, a person is busying himself with something which really has no need now and is used during the week. However, what about a Michelle kovshin? What about a washer's press? Lo yigabel, says our Mishnah, a person may not touch it. For sure you can't tighten it, but you cannot even loosen it to remove one's article of clothing from it. Different interpretations are given why it is usser. Some actually say the reason why it is usser because that loosening it is as if you're tightening it, that it has you're actually helping it, you're fixing it by loosening it, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, because you're, you know, whether by loosening it, you're like pulling it down, and therefore it looks as if you're tightening it and you're fixing it or you're using it, you're helping yourself out for also during the week. Other interpretations say no, the reason why you're not allowed to touch it, you're not allowed to even loosen it, is because it is a high level of muksa. It is muksa machmas chisaron kis. It is an expensive item. Person would not play with, not want to touch expensive items for fear of breaking them. It should just be left there in its place. That is the second interpretation why it is aser to touch. Why remove an article of clothing even from this washer press? The Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im haya mutar me'erev Shabbos, matir eskulo v'shomto. Rabbi Yehuda says, if this washer's press was somewhat loose already before Shabbos, you'd be allowed to loosen all of it and to take one's garment out from the press. Some explain that this is referring to as completely open, in which case you could remove it without a problem. Others say, even though the press might be muksa, you could remove the article of clothing without touching it, since it has already been loosened on Shabbos, and that is why you could extract it, that is why you'd be allowed to remove it, because you're not really touching the actual press itself, but you're kind of pulling out, you're schlepping out your garment, and therefore it is permitted, of course, to remove one's garment on Shabbos. That is not a problem. Perkuf Aleph, the 21st chapter, Mishnah Aleph, the first Mishnah. We are continuing with the laws of Muksa, with the laws of what one is permitted to move and what one is not permitted to move on Shabbos. Mishnah begins, No tell Adam es beno ve'evin biyado. a person is about to pick up his child, his son, who is carrying a stone, a rock in his hand. Usually, rocks are, of course, considered a muksa. How come we're allowed to pick up the child who's carrying muksa? Even though it is an indirect way of moving the muksa, nonetheless, we would only be permitted to pick up a child holding a piece of muksa, an item of muksa, because we're worried the child would become sick because he's very distraught that his father's not picking him up. I can definitely relate to that. And moving an item, muksa item, toto min atzad, moving an item indirectly is permitted in the case of choli, in the case of illness, even though there's no threat to life. We're not talking about pikuach nefesh here, but unless a child will be distraught. And that is why it is permitted to pick up the child. The Gemara actually goes on to say specifically in Evan, specifically if this child is holding a rock, one would be permitted to pick him up. If he's crying and really wanted his father. If he's holding, let's say, a coin, father may not pick him up. Perhaps the reason is because we're concerned that this coin will fall to the ground. It'll fall from a child's hand to the ground. And automatically, when a father to see this coin on the ground, would pick it up and want to take it home with him. And picking up a coin is muksa, and therefore, only if a child is holding a rock can one pick him up. If he wants his father, it would not be permitted to pick up a child holding on to a coin. We would first have to make sure the coin falls in the child's hand first before picking him up. The Kalkalav Evan Besocha, it is also permitted to pick up a basket which has a lot of fruit in there, and also has a stone on there in there as well. The reason is because we learn an important halachic principle from here, that since this basket is carrying items which are permitted, it is carrying fruit, the fact that there's one item, a stone, which is prohibited to move, since the basket is carrying items which are permitted and which are forbidden, is permitted to move the basket. Because a basis, a base for something of the Dvar HaMutar, the Asur, is permitted to move on Shabbos. The Gemara actually clarifies that what is this type of produce? What are these fruits that are in the basket? They are fruits that if one were to put them on the ground, like strawberries or grapes, they'd become disgusting if placed on the ground because of the dirt on the ground. If, however, inside of the basket had produce such as nuts, or I guess what we'd say oranges, then a person really ideally should shake the basket, have this produce fall to the ground. That would definitely be ideal. Have this rock, this single rock, remain in this basket. Take the basket and kind of tip it over to ensure that the stone falls out, and one would be able to put back all the produce that you put on the ground back into this basket and carry it that way. And really, if the basket has this wet produce, like kind of blueberries, like we said, strawberries, something you put on the ground will get ruined. If you're able to somehow move everything to the side and shake out the rock, that is definitely ideal, and one should, in fact, do that. The Gemara clarifies a very important detail. What is our Mishnah referring to? Our Mishnah is actually not talking about a regular rock that is sitting there among the produce, but what happens if the basket actually has gotten ruined, and the rock becomes part of the walls of the basket? In such a case, it would be impossible to use the basket without the rock. Others actually say that if the rock actually serves as a wall to the basket may be used on Shabbos, even if the basket is empty, since the rock is just becoming part of the wall of the basket, it has a permissible function to it. The Mishnah says a person can move on Shabbos, truma which is clean, with truma that is unclean. Obviously, if it was just unclean truma, a person would not be able to move it, but if you have both of these types of truma together, a person would be allowed to move it. or be permitted to move this Truma Tameya with Chulin, with just regular produce. A person would be allowed to move it again, because as long as you have something which is permitted, you have this Truma Tahora or Chulin, you'd be allowed to move even the Truma Tameya along with it. The Gemara goes on to clarify that if the Truma Tahora, if the Chulin was on top and the Truma Tameya is at the bottom, then a person should really remove the Truma Toro Chulin from this basket and not have to carry both together. And if the Truma Tahora or the Chulin also was something which if fell to the ground would be protected, something that had a shell, something that had a rind, a thick rind to it, then one really should shake everything out and pick up afterwards the items that are permitted to move on Shabbos and leave the Truma Tameya behind and not have to carry the Truma Tahora with the Truma Tameya. The Mishnah goes on to say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Malin Es Hamaduma Ve'Echad U Meya. This case is referring to a situation where a Se'ah of Truma falls among 100 pieces, 100 Se'ahim of Chulin. It would be permitted to remove one Se'ah of Truma on Shabbos, and the other 100 pieces would be permitted for anyone to eat. And we do not actually argue and say, wait a second, since by removing this one piece, we've now allowed all this food to be eaten, it is now misakin, we now fix this food, we render it edible. We do not say that since we render something edible on Shabbos, we've improved, we've enhanced the food, and that's asur. We look as if this one piece of truma, which fell among many pieces of non-truma food, is situated at the top and is not mixed in with everything else. And therefore, we're just removing it aside and giving it to the Kohen. Are we sure that is the piece? Of course not. But nonetheless, all we need to do is remove one piece and give it to the Kohen, give him his fair due. We don't want the Kohen to lose out from truma food, from truma produce, and we haven't given it to him. And since we do not look at it according to Rabbi Yehuda as if it's all mixed in, therefore it is not considered misakin, and therefore it be permitted not just to give it to the Kohen, but in the context of our Mishnah, it be permitted to move this entire basket, this entire bushel, with these 101 pieces of produce in there. We could move them. Why? Because there's something which is permitted among one item which is forbidden, and therefore that is why the context of this Mishnah, the end of this piece of Rabbi Yehuda, is found in our Mishnah, regardless of this, what appears to be this tremendous insight by Rabbi Yehuda, that is not the halacha. We do not follow his opinion.